Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Amen. All right. Have a seat today. Get your Bibles out and go with me to Colossians, the second chapter. This is increase from God and part number two. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 18 and verse number 19. We were in these two verses last time we were together, and we talked about how increase comes from God. We see this in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 18 and verse number 19. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse number 18. He says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Now, remember last time we were talking about this, we were saying that there is a possibility that we could be cheated of our reward, that we could be taken away from the very thing which is a reward for us. Now, what is our reward? We know that whom have I in heaven besides you, Lord, right? There's none on earth that I desire except you. Our reward is Jesus Christ. God told Abraham, "I am your son and your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And God brings us into the joy of his salvation. He says, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." You see, we could be cheated out of our very reward in eternity. Now, I know there are a lot of people who don't think that you could ever lose your salvation. And I would agree, you can't lose it like, oh, whoops, where'd it go? You know, never going to happen. The Bible tells us there's some great verses about none can snatch them out of my hand. We are eternally secure in him. But did you know that there are also verses on the other side of that that say that we can willfully choose to stay in unrepentant sin and that there is no sacrifice left for our sin because Jesus only went to the cross once. He's not going back again. And it talks about people who have tasted the heavenly gift. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, he is the heavenly gift. You don't do that unless you're born again. You can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. So to willfully reject and walk away from as an apostate the things of God, you can walk away from your salvation. I do see that in the Word of God. Jesus said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." What if you don't endure to the end? What if you pack up your bags and leave? See, God loves us enough to give us that free will choice to choose him and to stay with him. And we ought to be careful not to let anyone cheat us of our reward. Coming in, talking about, "Ooh, I saw a vision. I saw a mighty angel, and you need to get a hold of this. You need to get this realm." And the Bible says that they are puffed up in their fleshly minds. I get the picture. You ever seen one of those National Geographic television shows where there's like a fish or a bird or something like that, and a predator comes along, and what do? Right? And they puff themselves up to make themselves look like something that they're not. Right? They look like something bigger than they are, and they scare off their predators. Why? Because they appeared as something bigger. See, there are people who will try and get your attention away from Jesus Christ by, "Oh, look how spiritual I am. Look how wonderful I am. Look at my television ministry. Look at all of my books or all of the wisdom or listen to the revelation that I got or the things that I've seen." And it says that they're vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind, that this is not of God. Even though they're appearing to be spiritual, it really is something that is a work of the flesh, and it can cheat us of our reward. And we found out last time we were together that humility, humbling ourselves, coming under the mighty hand of God will lift us up. It will bring us increase from God. And we talked about humility. Humility is not putting yourself down. It's not, "I'm a worm, I'm just nothing," and someone gives you a compliment. "No, don't compliment me. I'm trying to be humble here," right? No, that's a bunch of humble. That we are to be utterly and totally dependent on God. Each and every day, every moment, every hour, that we are to rely on and depend on God, take our direction from him. And as we humble ourselves, the book of James and the book of 1 Peter tells us, under his mighty hand, that he gets a hold of our lives and he will lift us up. That is that increase that comes from God. We saw that there's an increase in blessing, an increase in ability, that God does amazing things in every area of our life. But the next verse comes along and it says this in verse number 19, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 19. It says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." I see in this verse that there is another way that increase comes from God. Number one, we saw increase from God comes from humility. But secondly, increase from God comes from connection to Jesus and to his church. If we see anything in verse number 19, our increase from God comes from our connection to Jesus and to his church. Dr. Henry Cloud, in his book, The Power of the Other, tells a story about his brother-in-law, Mark, who has since gone on to be with the Lord. Mark was a Navy SEAL. After Mark's death, a lot of people came forward and started talking about what a wonderful man Mark was. Now, when they were going through training, Mark had a buddy who was going through training with him. And maybe you've heard about the Navy SEAL training. It is the most elite. It is the hardest, harshest, most grueling training process that any military personnel can go through. They take the cream of the crop, the best of the best, and they take these men and women and they bring them through this rigid training, this very intense, harsh training. You've probably seen movies about it. You've probably seen different things where they're on the beach, they're all locked arms and the waves are crashing against them. They're all shivering, right? And they're not supposed to let the waves pull them apart. Maybe they're walking up the beach with a big old telephone pole or something like that with a bunch of guys and they're all having to walk and march together with this thing. And they take them to the very edge of their physical limits as well as their mental limits. They take them down into the bottom of the ocean. They have them learn how to take a nap on the bottom of the ocean before they come up. They take them into just on the brink of hypothermia so that they know what that feels like and they know how to do that. They take them in sleep deprivation and just to the limits of their physical and mental limits because they know that in the situations of intense war and the situations they're going to be putting these Navy SEALs in, they have to have the most strictest, most rigid discipline that they could have. And so the very last day, they have a final test that they go through where they have to go down the beach, they go down in the ocean, and they're swimming, and they have to go across. And after all of these trials and all these tests, they swim up and they come up on these rocks. Now, Mark had already gone through his trial. He had already gone through and gone down to the bottom of the ocean, came up and swam across, and then he came over, and he was up on the rocks, and he had finished that test. He had passed, and now he was a Navy SEAL. But then his buddy that was with him was also going through the test. And so here he was, and he was gone down to the bottom of the ocean. He's swimming towards the rock. He can see the shore. He can see the rocks, and he can see Mark up on the rocks. And as he's swimming, he continues to swim towards it, but it was at that moment that his body literally gave up. He hit the point of physical exhaustion. There was nothing left. He could not swim another stroke. Maybe you've had a time in your life where that's happened to you. I remember a time in my life where I was out in the ocean and I was trying to just have some fun with friends, boogie board and that sort of thing, got caught in a riptide and used up all my energy trying to swim out. Eventually, the lifeguard had to come and save me. You know, it was like a scene from Baywatch. They came running out and they threw that red thing, you know. I always wondered what that red thing was for. He got to me, he's like, here, hold this. And I'm like, oh, that's what this red thing's for. Oh, and he started pulling me out, right? And I got to the beach, and I remember walking up to the beach, and there was this concrete embankment, and I leaned up against it, and out of exhaustion, I literally passed out. I don't know how long I was out. Somebody came up and kicked me and said, hey, you want to go to Taco Bell? And I was like, yes. It's always a good idea when you're a teenager, you know? So, not a good idea now. Praise the Lord. But here he was, and he was swimming towards shore, and he was physically exhausted, running on E. The gas was out. The light had gone dim. He had nothing left to swim to shore. And it was right at that moment when he was trying to think about, okay, am I going to float to the top and call out? Am I going to go and ring the bell? What am I supposed to do here, you know? And here he is, and he looks up on shore, and it was at that moment him and Mark locked eyes. And Mark saw his friend there in the water, and Mark just did this. Gave a fist pump and was like, yeah, come on, you can do it. And something on the inside of his friend there in the water unlocked. Another room inside of him opened up. He switched into another gear where he had no strength, no energy. He's physically exhausted before because he saw his friend. He saw someone who believed in him. He connected with him. And that little bit of fist pump, that little bit of encouragement, all of a sudden he was able to switch into a new gear and to swim to shore. And he became a SEAL that day. Why do I tell you this story? Because I believe in the church that there are a lot of people who are trying to do life isolated and insulated and alone, especially in a large church like this. You can slip in and slip out. You can be just another number in the sea of faces. But listen, there's going to come a time in your Christian walk where you are running on E, where there's nothing left. And if you don't have a connection to Jesus Christ and to his church, you are going to die out there alone. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation, that he has gone before us and he stands on your behalf, interceding before you. I don't know what that looks like. It may be a prayer to the Father, or it may be a fist pump from heaven saying, come on, child, you can do it. Let's go. You got more on the inside of you. The Spirit will move you. Let's do this together. And God will open up new rooms. And you'll switch into a new gear and you'll be able to make it. But not only that, the Bible tells us that there is a great cloud of witnesses, almost like walking into a great stadium like the Colosseum, and all the way up into the back seats, there are people that have gone before us and they're cheering us on. They're saying, we've done it. We finished our race. Now you can do it. Keep going. Keep running. Keep moving. Keep preaching. Keep telling someone about Jesus. You can do it. Our connection to Jesus Christ and to his church is where God will bring that increase into our lives. Today I want to look at our connection because it's so important for each and every one of us. Our connection will literally show how much or how little increase we will have in our lives. First part of our connection is this, is our form. Our form. What do I mean by that, the form of connection? Well, did you know that God formed you in your mother's womb? The Bible tells us that God made you just the way that you are. Tall, short, thin, wide. God made you dark or light. Maybe God made you with a certain number of hairs on your head and you wish that there were more. Maybe some of you guys have oily skin and you've always wondered, why did God curse me with oily skin, you know, and you were covering up pimples on your way to church today. God made you, God formed you, God knows the number of hairs on your head, how many or how few they are. God knows the color of eyes he gave you, and God knows the family that he placed you in. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you. He formed you. So you know that God on the inside of you formed you with a God-shaped hole on the inside of you? That God formed, the Bible says that he has placed eternity in the hearts of man, and that we seek it out throughout our lifetime, and we have a difficult time finding it unless the Spirit of God reveals it to us. And therefore, we are all built and made and formed with a God hole on the inside of us that has to be connected back to God. God built us that way to want to have a connection with the eternal, with God himself. But also, you remember in the garden when God made Adam? God made all the animals and he brought them before Adam, and no one was found comparable to him. And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, many times we think about that just in terms of marriage, right? Because God brought Adam, Eve. He brought the man, a woman. And he said, so shall a man leave his father and his mother. Speaking about Adam and Eve, who had no father and mother, but he was putting an eternal principle into the word of God and be joined to his wife. They two shall become one flesh. And we always think about it in terms of marriage. But did you know that it's not good for man or woman to be isolated from others? No man is an island. And we ought to have a form of connection with God and with others. I want to ask you a question today. What form of connection do you have with God? Is it a consistent connection? Or is it a casual connection? Is it a strong connection? Or is it a weak connection? You've been driving and maybe you got your phone connected to the Bluetooth in your car, and as you're driving, you're having a good conversation, you're talking, and somebody says, hey, I've got a story to tell you. You are not going to believe this. So we were out and we were over. Isn't that crazy? And you're like, oh man, the stupid phone connection was terrible. Can you tell me the whole story over again? Oh yeah, no problem. It was crazy. So I was saying, we were. And then all of a sudden it goes into like that electronic distortionist. And you're almost expecting the AOL voice to come up and say, you've got mail. You know, like, what just happened? Did I dial up or something? Like, this is weird. What's going on? I mean, it drives you nuts, doesn't it? Why? Because there was a weak connection. Listen, you will not hear from God. You will not have the things that you need from God if you have a weak connection, a spotty connection, an inconsistent connection with God. I hear so many Christians, I don't know why God's not speaking to me. It's because you're disconnected. And we got to have a strong connection to God. You can have as strong or as weak of a connection as you want. God says, draw near to me. and I will draw near to you. Did you know that? And so we got to have a strong, healthy connection. We've got to look at what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Turn there with me to the Gospel of John, Big John. John chapter number 15. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find in the beginning of the New Testament. Then you'll find John. John chapter number 15. In fact, if you want to know how to have a greater connection, if you're dealing with this area of your life that you want to get more connected to God, I would encourage you, your homework this week is to read through John chapter number 15, because it talks about our connection to him. We're only going to read one verse in our message today, though, John chapter 15 and verse number 4. Let's take a look at what it says together. John chapter 15, verse 4 says this, "Abide in me." Now, we don't often use that term abide very much these days, do we? I don't ask you, hey, where do you abide? You'd be like, what old school movie have you been watching that you're using words like abide, right? What do we say? Where do you live? Where do you stay, right? So what is Jesus saying? He says, abide, live, stay, dwell, where? In me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I've got this verse up on the overheads for you, and I've got some words highlighted. I want you to notice, how many times does the word abide appear in just this one little verse? Three times, right? Three times. Jesus says, abide, abide, abide. Do you think that when God starts repeating himself, he's trying to get our attention about something? You know, when I start repeating myself with my kids, I'm trying to get their attention. Hey, 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 right? Clean your room. I need you to clean your room. Son, you better clean your room, right? So what is God saying? God says, abide. Abide. Hey, abide. Where? In me, and I in you. And notice what he says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. We get the physical, natural picture of a branch abiding in the vine so that the fruit can be produced. That fruit is the increase, but that increase will not come unless it is connected to the vine. He says, so also, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, we all want the increase, but God says you've got to stay connected. You got to have a consistent connection to me. Yeah, have you ever wondered why here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center we have 8 church services a week? Why would we do church on Saturday when Sunday is a perfectly good day to have church? It's so that we know that some of you guys do baseball, some of you guys do soccer, some of you guys have family members that you need to travel and do a birthday party. So come on Saturday. Stay connected, right? And not just once a week. Some of you guys used to come 2-3 times a week. When you first got saved and you desperately needed God, every time the doors were open, some of you men didn't care that it was a women's ministry. You just wanted to be on property, right? Some of you guys were crashing the young adults parties on Friday nights saying, man, I just need God, right? Hopefully they don't card at the door because I'm going, right? Why? Because you were desperate for that connection. You needed it. It was life-giving. But then when you were okay, you said, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to go once a week. Once a week turned into once a month, and once a month eventually turns into once a year until you're disconnected and you die out there alone. See, why do we have so many church services? Why at the end of every church service on Sunday morning does Pastor Dan say, hey, I want to invite you guys out to Sunday night, 6 o'clock. We're having the overflow service. We're going to press into God's presence. Why am I doing that? Because I know that your connection, if you will stay consistent and get a stronger connection, then you will do better in life and you will have increase that comes from God. And that's why at the end of Sunday night, they say, hey, everybody, we want to remind you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we got church. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock when we're in church, they say, hey, ladies, tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m., we got the women's ministry meeting. And then first Friday for the young adults. And then this weekend, we're having church. Why? Because we want you to have a strong and consistent connection with church. Now, Pastor Dan, does that mean that we can only connect with God in church? No, you better have a personal connection with God every day. Every day. Every day. I'm repeating myself. Why? To get your attention, because you guys need to be in your word, on your own, connecting with God, listening for the voice of God every day. Every day you need to go in your prayer closet and you need to go to the secret place and speak with God and talk with God and pray to God. And God, who sees in secret, here comes the increase, will reward you openly, right? You need to have your own personal connection with God every day. But I want to submit to you something, that you cannot separate Jesus, the head, from the body. You cannot relate with God without his church. And therefore, can you connect with God outside of the church? Absolutely. But can you connect with God without the church? No, you cannot. Because Jesus, in covenant, has connected himself to his body. You know, if I get a medal on my shoulder, it's my medal. And my whole body is honored. Why? Because this is me, right? And therefore, we know that Jesus is the head, but you cannot relate to Jesus without the body. And therefore, our connection to God and our connection to his people is vitally important for the increase that comes from God in our lives. I want it, and you want it. If you want it, say amen. Second thing for us today is this. Not only the form of our connection, but our function. Our function. When you have a strong connection, function will follow form. Is that right? It's like Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Because you can't do this on your own. It is out of your connection that your function will take place. God created you the way that he created you so that you would have a purpose and so that you would have a function in the body of Christ. God wants you to function in what he has created you to be. Now, I was looking for scriptures about this, and I found some great scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And as I started to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I started to realize these are some great verses. These are wonderful verses. So I started looking them up in other translations. I found the Message paraphrase, and it had some beautiful word pictures that just got me laughing. I was reading through it. I was like, that is a funny thought. That would be a great picture that if somebody could put it together. So I went to my buddy Shane. He was here in the first service this morning. My buddy Shane, he's a graphic artist here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. A lot of the graphics that you see, Shane has produced those things, different images and things like that. He's wildly gifted, very talented, and he's hilarious. And so I said, Shane, man, hey, I would love to get some images out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the Message. Because I thought, you know, if I just stood up here and read it, that'd be fun for a little while, but it's a long section of scripture. So I said, you know what? People are going to get bored. I think I got a little bored. You know what I mean? Like, just listen to myself read it. So I said, it'd be cool if we could get maybe some images. And he said, oh yeah, I could do that for you. That'd be easy. I'll just create some images. I said, do you think that like maybe we could put it in a video and put it together? He said, oh yeah, that'd be easy. We could do that. I said, do you think that maybe you could read it, Shane? And you could put your voice on the video reading it for us? And, oh yeah, that'd be easy. And so Shane put this together all by himself. I want you guys to check out the overhead for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12 through verse number 26 in the Message. Watch this.
You can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life, in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head. Would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out? As a matter of fact, in practice it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern with the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance.
Did Shane do a good job? Yeah, love that guy. I want to point out, he says your significance comes from what you are a part of. All of us being a part of the body of Christ gives us significance. We've been searching for it in all sorts of other places, and money and wealth and sex and drugs and approval and acceptance of man. And yet God says you're significant because you're a part of the body of Christ. And sometimes we downplay that significance, don't we? Well, I just don't really do too much. I'm so busy at work and trying to make ends meet and put things together that all I can do is just show up to church and just pray for the church as often as I can. But listen, did you know that that may be the calling of God on your life, is to pray and to intercede on behalf of others? Sometimes people say, well, I'm just into computers. I'm so introverted that, you know, I just wanted to find the job behind the computer at the church. And so I found check-in tech at the children's ministry. And I just check children in because, you know, I have a hard time talking to people, but I'll sit behind a computer and say, oh, what's your name? You know, and yet, what if God has called you to do just that? What if that is your place in the body of Christ, and because you're there checking kids in, they have a safe environment to grow in the things of God, and you're checking the next Billy Graham in, you're checking the next Oral Roberts in, you're checking the next Joyce Meyer in, come on, you're checking the next evangelist and pastor and person that God is going to use for Jesus, and because you had a smile, because you were consistent in your connection and in your function in the body of Christ, that it produced fruit unto eternal life. Some people say, well, why did God make me this way? Why did God make me a big mouth? God, I always feel so bad after I talk to people. It's like I talk their ear off, right? But what if God is saying, I want to use that and redeem that and make you a big mouth for Jesus so that you can go blab about the gospel to everyone that you know? My goodness. See, when we stay connected to the head and when we stay connected to the body, the function will follow the form. You know, we've been talking kind of these nebulous terms, these pictures and these images that maybe are kind of hard to relate to, body life and that sort of a thing. All of us are our own selves, and we can understand our bodies a little bit, right? But I don't know how my stomach really does things, and I haven't even seen it, you know what I mean, even though I do have a relationship with it. But not only form, not only function, but the last part of our connection is this, is family. That's something that we can relate to, right? You see what I did there? There was a little word pun going in there. Some of you grammar people, you're welcome, all right? My teacher on the front row over here. Praise God. But we're family. We're family. Blood is thicker than water. And you can do things with family that you can't do with anyone else. See, I just had my family over just yesterday. I did not clean my room. But when I have friends come over, I clean my room. Why? Because just in case they want to go upstairs and see what my room looks like. They've never seen it before, you know what I mean? So, but with my family, they've seen the house. They helped me move in. They put my underwear away for me. You know what I mean? My friends don't do that. You don't touch my underwear if we're friends, because that's just wrong, right? That's just weird, and we're not going there, all right? But with family, I don't make my bed when my family comes over. Why? Because they're my family. And then if they start going up the stairs, I say, what are you doing upstairs? You don't go upstairs. Stay down here, right? My family yesterday, we hung out for 5 hours, and we stared at each other. Because that's how my family does it. We sit around, we talk a little bit, and then when we don't got anything else to say, and afterwards we say, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for having me over. That was great. We should do that again real soon. Jessica, my beautiful, lovely wife, Pastor Jess, you know, she's like, Dan, I wanted to jump up and run around the room screaming. And I said, you should have. We would have watched you. You know, that would have been fun for us. When I married into Jessica's family, the Cobras, I married in this Italian family. They're all fired up, you know. They're all talking. Man, if you didn't talk, you wasn't going to get in there. And after my first time going over to the house, they were like, Jessica, are you sure? He's really quiet. He didn't say anything. He'd start to talk, and then he'd stop in the middle of the sentence. I told Jess later, that's because they kept interrupting. And I was like, oh, okay. Didn't want to hear what I had to say. You know, they turn their head and start talking to someone else. My dad came over to Christmas one time. Afterwards, he said, "What'd you think, Dan?" And he said, "Man, I had so much fun. It was like entertainment, like watching TV." Jessica and her family, when they get into a fight, they say things. Just blurt it out. And it's like, after I'm sitting on the sidelines like, oh gosh, it's over. We are never going to hear from them again. Because in my family, if you said some of the things they say to each other, it would have been like, you know, if we saw you on the street, we would cross the road and go on the other side like, not after what you said. So they have these fights and they have these knockdown, drag out, say whatever you're going to say. And all of a sudden, like the next day, the next morning, I'm like, how you doing? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm good. In fact, I'm going to call them right now. Hey, how you doing? You okay? Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do today? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it's okay? You know? Why? Because it's family. Blood runs thicker than water. If someone else said the things they said to their family, oh, it'd be time to fight, right? Oh, you don't talk to my family that way. What? You know, they'd be peeling rings off and all. I mean, just go, let's go, right? Why? I could talk to my brother that way, but you can't talk to my brother that way. Because it's family. It's family. We are connected to one another. You know, I was studying for this message and I came across something in Houston when they had the floods. People were posting on social media, hey, if you see a floating heap that looks like dirt, don't go and touch it. It will literally ruin your whole day. Can we get an image up on the screens of this? They said, don't touch these floating mounds of dirt. It will literally ruin your whole day. You want to know why they said not to touch these floating mounds? Because that's not dirt. That's fire ants. And when there is a flood, a fire ant will latch on to another fire ant. They'll lock their legs. They'll wrap around each other. They will bite another one's abdomen and hold on for dear life, because if they're going to survive the flood, they have to stay together. See, on their own, they'll get swept away in the flood. But when they link together, when they lock up, and when they protect the queen, and they protect the larvae, tens of thousands of these suckers will link up together and they will float above the waters and ride out the storm until they can go and find dry land and start another colony somewhere. If an ant tries to get away, they will bite and they will latch on and they will not let it go, because their survival depends on that ant staying with them. If an ant dies in the process, they will just hold on to the dead ant. They don't get rid of it. Why? Because if they can stay locked together, then they'll make it. They'll survive. In fact, it was fascinating. I was looking at videos of these things. They would put a couple hundred of them in a little clear thing of water, and they would start to press them down and try and get them to go down under the water. Together, they are so buoyant, and there's so much of that buoyancy and all that kind of stuff, the pressure and all that. I don't even understand all the scientific terms they were using. But as they were pressing them down, it would actually go concave, and the air pocket would fill up, but the water would never flood them over. And even when the water went on top of them, they would put up and the water would just stay like a bead on top of them. They can survive if they stay together. Church, we have to stay together. We cannot divide over offenses. We cannot belittle one another, bite and devour one another. No, see, we need to link arms. We need to link up together, because there is a flood of dissipation in our land. The devil is coming against the church. He's coming against marriage. He's coming against our sexuality. He's coming against our finances. He's coming against our homes, our communities, our neighborhoods. He's coming against our street, our block. He's coming against the state of California. He's coming against the United States. He's coming against our world. He's shifting things and trying to bring a flood. But the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. And as the church, it's not time to divide. It is time to unite. And listen, if one of you guys tries to get away from me, I will bite you to get you back in. I'm going to hold on as strong as I can. Why? Because we are better together than we are apart. I will not divide over race. I will not divide over economy. I will not divide over the gifts of the Spirit. I will not divide over women in ministry. I will not divide over practice or the way that people do church. If you want to have an organ and sing hymns, do it. If you want to have a band and sing these songs that are so nebulous and out there, but somebody's connected with God, do it. But listen, if you're preaching the word, you're my brother. You're my sister. We are now no longer different races. We are the human race. There's no longer other bloods. We are one blood, the blood of Jesus. We are family. We need to stay together because we're better together than we are apart. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25 and 26 says that there should be no schism. What does that mean? No division in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. We ought to be the most caring, most loving, tightest group of people. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member's honored, all the members are honored with it. Sometimes we have such a problem when other people get an attaboy. Why are they getting a prize? Why are they getting blessed? Why did that church get on TV? Why did the newspaper write an article about them? And we get angry that we didn't get the attaboy. Listen, guys, we're not here for any of that stuff. If there's a church that's out there killing it, they're getting on TV and they're getting all sorts of stuff. Hey, praise God. I'm so glad that the gospel's getting out. I'm so glad that somebody's hearing about Jesus. I'm glad that there is a good, solid, healthy witness on the earth for Jesus Christ. But guess what else? When one member suffered, all the members suffered with it. That's why I pray for the persecuted church. Because when they hurt, I hurt. When they're mourning and suffering, I'm mourning and suffering. But that's also why I pray for the other churches in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet, because when they're honored and when they're killing it, when they're doing such a great job, man, I'm honored. And hey, didn't we do a good job getting souls saved? Man, my goodness, this Easter, when we come together and when the body of Christ gathers worldwide, I'm believing for thousands in this church, but I'm believing for thousands in other churches as well. Because why? That's our win. That's our family. And we need to stay together. With this in mind, I want you to turn back with me to Colossians chapter number 2. I want to take a look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 19 with fresh eyes. Because it's in the context of our relationship to Jesus and to his church that we see this increase come into our lives. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 19 says this. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 19. It says that those that strayed away from God, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, look at this word, grows with the increase that is from God. When we stay connected to the head, Jesus Christ, when we stay connected to his church, his body, that nourishment of the word and the knitting of our lives comes from that connection to Christ and to his church. Without it, we die alone and isolated, malnourished and starved to death, but with it, we thrive and grow with the increase that comes from God. I just want to take a moment and pause. And I just want to have a moment with God. If you would just take a moment and bow your heads, close your eyes. Don't get up during this time. And I want you to think about your connection to Christ. Is it a strong one or is it a weak one? Is it consistent or inconsistent? If you rated it, what would it be? Would it be a perfect 10? You're very connected, hearing from God. Maybe it's a 7, doing pretty good. Maybe you're a 2 or a 3. You know you need to make some changes. No matter what your connection is, why don't you just think about this for a second. How can I make that a stronger connection? How can I make that a better connection? Just ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? God, what are you speaking to me today about my connection to you? About your connection to his church? Are you just one person in a sea of faces, slips in late, leaves early? You don't know anyone and no one knows you. You haven't given, you haven't served, you haven't connected with anyone in a meaningful way here in the church. Maybe you shook a hand as you walked in the door, but they don't know you. you don't know them. How can you change? How can you make that connection strong to the body of Christ? Maybe it's time to start serving. Maybe it's time to start getting in a group. Maybe it's time to start doing what God has called you to do. What about your function? Your function. Has your connection built you up, and is it flowing through you? Again, if you had to rate it, what would you rate it at as your function? And maybe you're doing an 8, doing really good. Maybe you're at a 2, don't really function. Maybe you're at a 5, you come and you help out every now and then, or lead a Bible study here and there at your work, but it's inconsistent. What's God speaking to you? Is it time to get committed? Is it time to start flowing in your purpose? Do you have gifts that are sitting on the inside of you that need to come out? What about your family connections? Have you been offended by someone in the body of Christ? Have you been trying to leave rather than hold on? Maybe you came in today and you were so discouraged, you said, God, if you don't do something today, I'm not going back to church. God just called you out right now. He hears those things in your heart. And he's telling you, stay connected. Don't give up on your family. Overlook an offense. You have a part. You have a place. You have a seat at this table. You belong. Don't disconnect. Whatever God's speaking to you, would you just take a moment and commit that to a note? You can lift up your heads, open your eyes. Would you just commit that to a piece of paper? Would you commit that? Maybe you have your smart device, your cell phone, something like that. You can make a note on it. Would you just write down what God is speaking to you about your connection to him and to his church, about the form, the function, and the family? Whatever it is God spoke to you right now, just write that down. Commit it to a note. I find that if I don't write stuff down, I will forget. And also, writing something down forces you to think through it. You'll remember it more, and you'll be accountable more because it's written down. If you're here with your husband or wife, maybe you're here with a faith-filled friend, or you sit around the people that you sit around every week and you know them and you trust them, would you just share that with them? Would you just show them that note, or maybe whisper in their ear what God is speaking to you right now? Say, will you remind me of this? Will you hold me accountable to this? Is there a goal? Is there a time limit? Is there a time frame? Maybe there's some things you need to do today. Today you need to go sign up to serve. Today you need to call that person and say, hey, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Or please forgive me. Maybe it's this week. Maybe you need to make an appointment, sit down with somebody this week. Maybe it's this month. Maybe your commitment is a long-term commitment. You're saying 365 days this year, I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to read my word and I'm going to pray. Maybe it's a 52-week commitment. Every week I'm getting in church twice a week, stepping up my connection to God and to his church. Write down that goal. Write down that time limit. Write down that time frame. Commit it. See, just, if you're just dreaming without a goal, you're just taking a nap. When you put a goal on it, that dream will become a reality, because now you've got a time frame and you can do it. Guys, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm doing this. Giving you the fist pump. You can make it. You can do it. Father, we commit to you those things that you've committed to us today. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our captain, the one who's gone before us, who's standing in heaven on our behalf, giving us his strength and his grace. Lord, I pray that as we connect with him and as we connect to his body, his church, God, that you bring that increase into our lives. Help us, God, to have the form of commitment that's strong, that form of connection that is consistent, God. I pray, Lord, in our function, God, that you would bring that fruit out of our lives, not just fruit that's here today and gone tomorrow, fruit that remains, Lord, that we would endure to the end and not be cheated of our reward. And Father, we thank you, God, for the family of believers that you place us in. You set the solitary in family. And God, we're grateful that you placed us in this great church, in this great family of believers, in this great body of Christ worldwide, God. What a privilege, what an honor. Thank you for the blood that binds us, the blood of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Everybody in agreement said, amen. Can we give the Lord a great big praise today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.